Amen. Have your, oh, we won't even go there. Praise the Lord. Would you please open in your Bibles to one of the most warming, encouraging places in Scripture, St. John chapter 14. I have never heard these words preached on that I'm going to preach on. But the Lord, I really believe, has taken these few words and has quickened them to my heart, and it has been so heartwarming and so encouraging to me. And I want to bring them to you and pray they be as much of a blessing to you as they have been to me. In St. John, the 14th chapter, these well-famous words, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." I want to speak on those words, "If it were not so, I would have told you." Brother Jim Haynes, would you ask God's blessings on the ministering of his word?
Well, we're so thankful for your word today to bring such life. We pray anointing for Pastor Connor today. We pray your strength, Lord, to each and every one of us. Because your word brings such life and such love and power. We thank you for your mercy and your blessing. Amen.
If it were not so, I would have told you. Let's go back to a story in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4. I pray you follow me as I try to lay a foundation that will make these words speak to our hearts and comfort us. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 16. Before I read this passage of Scripture, the story before it is Elisha, a prophet, traveled through the land, and there was a husband and a wife who allowed him to stay at their place. They built a little place for Elisha to spend the night. And they were good to the man of God. One day, Elisha, the prophet, said to his servant, "This couple that has been so good to me, find out what we can do to be a blessing to them." And his servant came back to Elisha and said, "They do not have any children." And it is aware that that is a longing in her heart. And we pick up at verse 16. Well, look at verse 14 to show what I'm talking about. "And he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old.' And he said, 'Call her.' And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, 'About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son.' And she said, 'Oh, don't mess with me, Lord. Don't tell me that unless it's true.' And she said, 'Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid.' And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to that time of life." What she was saying was she had a natural longing for there to be a child. Her husband's old, and it doesn't look like it's ever going to happen. Maybe she had given up on this desire. We do not know, but we know the desire was alive by the way she responded. For when Elisha says, you're going to have a baby or you're going to have a child. She said, oh, don't tell me that unless it's true. And it was true. When Jesus said in another place in the scriptures that I am the way and the truth and the life, we know that Jesus was truth. He is the embodiment of truth. In fact, it says that it is impossible for God to lie. The Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. I'm sure somewhere along your life's journey, you may not have told the truth exactly as it is. You may have added a little, you may have taken away, you may have exaggerated, which is a polite word for lying. I remember being out on the lake, and I've told you, with Billy Sanders, a preacher in Sutherland, and my pastor, and we were three men out in this boat in the middle of Diamond Lake when we got to telling fishing stories, as men often do. And one told one story, and then I told him a story. And I was telling the truth, but Billy Sanders must not have thought what I said was the honest-to-God gospel truth. Billy Sanders, when I got done, he said, you see that corner in that little cove in the lake? We said, yeah. He said, you know, when I was a little boy, he said, my father took me fishing, and we were there, and he said, I pulled something up. He said, do you know what I caught? We both looked, said, no, what? He said, a lantern. Wow, a lantern. He said, yes, and he said the lantern was lit. We said, aw, get out of town. He said, Dennis, he said, I'll blow out the light of my lantern if you'll shrink down the size of that fish about 6 inches. Jesus never, ever exaggerated, never lied, never made anything up. In fact, when you read the record of everything he ever said, he was spot on. He always told the truth. He told the truth whether he was looking at someone and telling them what they were like without ever knowing them. He could look at someone and predict the future and be accurate. He could look at someone and tell the past and was exactly as it was. He never, never was away from the truth. When he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, he was telling the truth. He knew exactly what he needed. When the next chapter says, the woman at the well, when Jesus talked to her, he told her the truth. Without ever knowing her or meeting her, he said, in a word of knowledge, you've been married to five husbands. And she knew there's no way he would have known that. And she knew he was speaking the truth. When he said to Philip, when he was being introduced to Philip, by Andrew, who brought him. And Jesus said, I just saw you before you got here under the fig tree. Philip knew he was telling the truth. Jesus always told the truth. When he said to the rich young ruler who wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus, knowing what he needed, and he knows what all of us need, he said to the rich young ruler who wanted to inherit eternal life, he said, knowing that his riches had the man and that covetousness had taken over his life, Jesus said, sell what you have and give to the poor and follow me. He was telling the truth. And he went away sorrowful. He always told the truth. Whether he was speaking to the Pharisees or whether he was speaking to Nicodemus, the woman at the well, or Philip, or anyone, they always knew you could count on Jesus telling the truth. And now I want us to take a look at something that Jesus said that is also true. He had just told his disciples that he was going to go to the cross. This was not happy news for them, and it rather discouraged them. The full understanding of Calvary and the death, burial, and resurrection had not really took hold of them yet, and they were troubled. And Jesus is going to tell the truth again. Now, what he is about to say was not a new doctrine. What he was about to say that we're going to read was something that had been well established in the Old Testament and also from earlier words that Jesus had spoken. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." If that wasn't so, I would have told you. I want to take those words, "If that wasn't so, I would have told you." Every one of us has dreams, I believe, that God has put in your heart. I'm not talking about desires and dreams that God didn't put in your heart. I'm talking about dreams and desires and longings that you have that almost God is responsible for those things being in your heart. When Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions," and some say dwellings, and the point is that their idea of an afterlife was not a new term, was not a new teaching or a new doctrine. You may not have found the word mansions or that particular thought concerning the eternal life. That may have been, I haven't really searched that out, but he was not telling them something they had not heard before. And he knew that what he was telling them was a longing and a desire that they had in their heart. And that is to be able to live after this life is over with the Lord. But that teaching, that understanding of that truth is as old as the Old Testament. You have much evidence in the Old Testament that validates an afterlife. You have, even in the book of Genesis, the story of Enoch, who the Bible said had this testimony that he pleased God. And one day it says God took him. It didn't say where he took him, but it is understood he took him to be with the Lord. And was not, for he had this testimony. And there was an understanding, and rightfully so, Enoch went to be with the Lord. The same is true of Elijah, who this fiery prophet, one day the Lord came, and his servant Elisha, who saw him go and described the setting and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and in a whirlwind of fire came down, and the chariot, and however your imagination wants to. But the point is, Elijah went up to be with the Lord. Yes, they had a hope and in their heart for an afterlife. It says in Genesis 15:15, when God spoke of Abraham, in one of the ceremonies of making a covenant, he said, "And thou shalt," speaking to Abram, later changed to Abraham, "and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace." Genesis 25:8. "Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people." That's not just talking about a burial ground. That's talking about his people on the other side. It says it of Abraham. It says it of Isaac. Isaac gave up the ghost and died, was gathered unto his people. It said it of Jacob. When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet on his bed and yielded up the ghost, and it said, and was gathered unto his people. It said that Moses, when God told him to get you up into the mountain and die, he said, you'll never find his body. And they never did. But we know that Moses, in the New Testament, appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and there was Moses and Elijah who had, they knew, were with the Lord. And when this vision or whatever it is that they're seeing, they had an understanding that when you die, if you're God's child and you know the Lord, you go to be with the Lord. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. King David also, in 1 Chronicles 17:11, it said of David, and it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers. So it was well understood from the Old Testament, and even words that Jesus had spoken, who cannot lie, had given them reason for hope. Do you remember the time in Matthew, the 20th chapter, when there came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing? And Jesus said, asking them, what is it you want? And she said, Jesus, grant that these my two sons may sit at thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. They believed there was a kingdom. They may not have totally understood the kingdom, but they believed there was a kingdom. In fact, when Jesus, it says, when he said something and it troubled some people and they followed him no more, that Jesus turned in John 6:66, it says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. They believed in an eternal life. They believed in a hereafter. And my point is, Jesus knew they believed in a hereafter. And Jesus knew they had strong hopes and strong desires for that kingdom, for that afterlife. And knowing they had that, that is why Jesus said, knowing their hearts were sad, knowing that they're being discouraged, knowing that they're disappointed, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Yeah, we know that. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I know you have a longing in your heart, and partly that longing you have in your heart, I think I can honestly say that the Lord is partly responsible for putting it in their heart. He's the one that made all these wonderful declarations of an afterlife, of eternal life. In Revelation, it even expounds upon it and says there's no more sorrow, no more crying, and et cetera, et cetera. So Jesus knew He knows your heart. He knows your dreams. He knows especially the dreams that he has helped put there. And Jesus, knowing that they had a longing for this, he's reminding them of it, but he is saying, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. What I want to say is, I want you to, for a moment, ask yourself, do I have desires that I believe God has put there in my heart, that He's partly responsible for these desires. And if you can look in your heart, maybe you can remember something the Lord has promised you that would happen. I just want to say to you, as much as He said to those disciples, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. And I want to say to you, because with this thought in mind, that which the Lord has placed in your heart, if it wasn't so, He would have told you. And I want to encourage you. The Bible says, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe. Some have gone too far with that, and they've included any desire. And James says, no, you can't just make that apply to any desire. He says, you have not, because you ask not, but when you ask that you may consume it upon your lust. So we can't include those kind of desires. This is Pastor Connor speaking. But when he said, Jesus said, whatsoever you desire when you pray, I believe he's talking about the desires that God has helped put in your heart. It is those desires that you should believe and trust, and yes, they will happen. And I'm not excluding other natural desires also. I'm just more confident that it includes especially the desires that He helps put in our heart. That God is not going to allow you to have these desires that He's helped put in your heart and them never come to pass. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I would have warned you. You see, Jesus warns us of bad, and He also tells us of good. He'll tell if there's a destruction coming, and He'll tell if there's a blessing coming. But either way, when Jesus said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you, knowing their heart's desire. I remember when I became a Christian, and I had such a longing, and I've shared this with you, and I asked to employ and hire your patience for a moment, but I so desired my father to be saved. I so wanted my father to be saved. And I would pray, and I would pray, and I would pray. And I remember even going to someone, a well-known evangelist, and asking him, is there any guarantee you can give me that you can guarantee my father's salvation from the Word of God? He said, I can't. I do know that you should pray, you should intercede, but there's nothing I can guarantee. Now, some might, but he wasn't comfortable doing so. And I felt that he was perhaps telling the truth. I was new, but I went to prayer. And I prayed, and I prayed. And there wasn't a time that I wouldn't pray for something. My father would come. But one day, God spoke to me, I believe, and said, your father's going to get saved. Now, I'm talking about a desire that I not only had, but a desire that he's joining alongside and letting me know it's going to happen. How many understand what I'm talking about? And with that, I continued to pray, but I also prayed with an understanding. If it wasn't so, he would have told me. He would have told me. He wouldn't let me continue to go on and on and on and on with this heavy burden. And sometimes I'd feel good, and sometimes, but until he's saved, I'm going to continue to pray and to intercede. And yes, my daddy got saved. And what I'm wanting you to know, that if it wasn't so, he would have told me so. I remember when, after I had soon arrived at White Salmon to be a pastor, that visiting the eye doctor one day, and I wore old kind of contacts. They were not the kind that are today that do not breathe oxygen. Like a Band-Aid has holes in it. Apparently it breathes and helps the healing process by the oxygen, etc. And upon visiting, they said, we need to have you immediately no longer wear these contacts, but your eyes you're this far from going blind the rest of your life. And I didn't understand, and since then I began to understand. They said your corneas on top of your eye, that little window, they are so thin because of the contacts that you've been wearing, maybe sometimes too long, more than you should, maybe because they didn't breathe the air properly, and therefore when you'd get a scratch, it couldn't heal properly due to the type of contact was there, but they are so thin that they could break. And the liquid in the eye, once you lose the liquid in your eye, you are blind forever. We have nothing in medical science that can solve that problem, and even to this day, they do not. So therefore, you're not to wear, and we'll have to hope that your eyes somehow get stronger. Well, it was a year I went blind. It was a year I couldn't see. Oh, I could see like I was looking through a couple of shower doors. So I had nothing to go on. And they did tell me that maybe we could do a cornea transplant, but we don't know yet. And I remember during that time wondering, am I going to be blind the rest of my life? They've given me no hope or nothing I can sink my teeth into that gives me hope. But God, don't you love those words? But God. I remember I began to have dreams from the Lord. And in these dreams, I was seeing very clearly. And in the dream, I was actually saying in the dream, I can see again. And I can see so much better than I've ever seen in my life. I can see details. Colors are much more clear. And I would wake up and I would think to myself, I believe that's from the Lord trying to encourage me that I am going to see again. I have nothing in the logical world that would indicate it so. And I would have these dreams over and over. In the same way that I had about my father, when the Lord had promised me he will be saved, and he kept encouraging me, and I kept having them. And then I remember one dream, a hand came, and in that hand there was a rather large contact. And I remember thinking, my, I've never seen such a large contact. Of course, I'd never seen soft contacts. I'd only seen hard contacts, and they're little bitty things, and the soft contacts are about twice the size in diameter. But the day that they did a cornea transplant, and they wanted to make sure it was going to work, I remember that day when they, and this is not a dream, this is in real life, when they handed me and I saw a hand with a large contact just like my dream. And I thought, wow, that's what I saw in my dream. Long story short, I can see again. And what I'm trying to say is God kept blowing on the fire the hope that I had in my heart that it will happen. And if it wasn't so, he would have told me so. Can I go a little further with this? Abraham wanted to be a father, and he's never had a child. And now when Abraham is 75 years old, the Lord came to him and said to him that Abraham, you're going to be a father. And God spoke to Abram about his seed. Now, this is the Lord. Now, I'm sure Abraham had a desire himself. But isn't it wonderful when the Lord comes alongside your desire and validates your desire to put credibility upon it? And he said, Abraham, you're going to be a father. It didn't happen right away. But God kept coming in different ways to minister to Abram that you're going to be a father. In fact, one place when God came Abraham said, when he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you financially. Abraham said, but I still don't have a child. Here's what I want us to see. If it wasn't so, he would have told him so. God was helping to keep that desire alive in the heart of Abram. If it wasn't so, and if you're going down a wrong path, chasing something you shouldn't be chasing, hoping for something you shouldn't be hoping for, dreaming for something you shouldn't be dreaming for, I would have told you. Can I hear an amen? I'm trying to just say to you, as also he said to Joseph, God came and put a hope in the heart of Joseph, showed him that he would be a great leader, he knew that things were going to change. It was God that works within us both to will and to do, but God helped Joseph put the desire, put the longing within him. Yes, we have our own natural, but it's when God comes along and he hovers over the desire, validating the desire. I just want to say to you, as he said to the disciples, knowing they had a desire of the afterlife, he said, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. And your desires that you believe that God is going to honor, if it wasn't so, he would have told you. So get your hopes up, get your faith up, and know that God cannot lie. If it wasn't so, he would have told you. He would have said, Joseph, you know, I can tell, I know your heart, you're thinking things are going to change. You know, I got to tell you, that's not the case. You know why he didn't do it? Because it wasn't so. And he said, Joseph, if it wasn't, he didn't say that, I'm saying it, but it's the nature of God. God is our Heavenly Father. If we know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more does he know how to give unto us? I remember my parents coming to us. I wish I could think of a better illustration, but this will have to do. Mom and Dad sat us down, and every kid wants a good Christmas. Every kid looks forward to getting toys, not clothes, as Brother Jim wisely stated. And I remember my mom and dad sat us down and said, kids, listen, there's going to be Christmas this year. But we want you to know it's been a rough year. And Dad's been out of work. And we've had it rough. So don't have high expectations. When I look back, that was now my greatest Christmas, because I realized they gave out of sacrifice. And the point is, they were trying to prepare us, knowing our hearts, that it's normal to think you're going to get, but we're coming to tell you to dial it down a bit. If God can come and tell us something bad's going to happen, and he does, he told Peter, you're going to deny me. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you, but you're going to. If he can say to Abram, there's destruction's coming. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you, but I'm telling you, it's coming. Are you catching on to my message? The dreams and the desires that God has put in your heart, that you're trusting for and you're believing for, keep believing. If it wasn't so, he would have told you. So hope up, faith up, believe God. Would you stand, please? I've had him tell me things. You know, right now, I have something I believe God has told me is going to happen. I've never shared it with you. My wife knows. I believe it'll happen. But if it wasn't so, he would have told me. The key is it a desire that God has been part of in the making? That puts us to be people of prayer. Yes, he gives you the desires of your heart. I don't deny that. But I also want to say this. If you're overwhelmed with something and you don't know how to deal with it, we have a promise in His Word. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If that wasn't so, He wouldn't have said so. How do I know God will help me? I know He'll help you on the basis that you're troubled and you're heavy laden, and on nothing more than His promise. If you have a troubled heart and you have something that grieves you, Jesus said, always telling the truth, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Does that fit anybody's life this morning? You're troubled and you're heavy laden. I can promise you, if it wasn't so, He wouldn't have said it. What's He going to do? I don't know. I know He said, come to me. Last night, something that I'm aware of troubled me. And it troubled me, and I wept, and I wept. And I thought, Lord, You've never talked to me about this. You've never promised me this like You did my dad. You've never promised me this like You did my eyes. But Lord, I'm hurting over this area. And I heard the sweet words, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I did the best I could to give it to the Lord. You say, what's He going to do? I don't know. But I know this, it's always good. If it wasn't so, He would have told us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have something that is troubling you and you want to give it to God, would you come? I want to give it to Him and help you. If it wasn't so, He wouldn't have told us. Lord, I'm not telling you how to do it, but I'm just giving this to You. You said You cannot lie. And I believe not only Your word, I believe on the overall weight of Scripture and Your nature. If it were not so, I'd have told you. It's almost like if I went out and got Bob Garner's car and drove off, I'd come to him first and say, can I use your car? I'd have done that. It's not my, unless I'm trying to get back at him from a prank. But it's not my style. It's not God's style to mess with you. It's His style. It's His nature to bless you. If it wasn't so, He wouldn't have said it. So, two areas this morning. One is, I have a hope. I believe God is partly helping, giving me. But the other is, I have a need. And I don't have a revelation like Abram did. I don't have a revelation like Joseph had. I don't have a revelation like Brother Connor had on the eyes or his dad. But I have a hurt and I have something that I need God to help. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If it wasn't so, He would have told you. Let's go to prayer. Lift your hands up, Father, Lord Jesus. We do come to You. We do, Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, we give this to You. We cast all our cares upon You, for You careth for us. And, oh, Jesus, if it wasn't so, You would have told us. And upon Your word, upon Your nature, upon Your record, upon You always telling the truth, we give this to you, casting all of our cares upon you. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do or how you're going to do it, but I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And I know that whatsoever we believe, whatsoever we desire, when we pray, believe. Lord, I believe your word. I believe you'll answer. And you'll answer according to your infinite wisdom, and it'll be good. And we'll say, Lord, how I marvel at your goodness. How I marvel at your wisdom. Lord, lift it off of them, and may that burden be placed upon the Lord. Cast your cares upon him. Lord, bless your people. If it wasn't so, you'd have told them. And Lord, you said you're coming back. I believe you, Lord. If it wasn't so, you'd have told us. Lord, you said you'd send the Holy Spirit, and you did. If it wasn't so, you'd have told them when they were tearing. Lord, oh God, we have a bright future. We have reason to hope. We have reason to be joyful, because our God is true. He cannot lie. If it wasn't so, he'd have told us so. He doesn't lead us down the road to be disappointed. He leads us into green pastures and beside the still waters, and he restoreth my soul. Bless your people. Turn to somebody and pray for them next to you, would you please? Let's just rejoice in God's goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, if it wasn't so, he'd have told me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, for your goodness. We give you, Lord, all of our troubles, all of our cares. You know how to repackage them. You know how to make a miracle out of trouble. You know how to turn light out of darkness. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you have need of patience after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Glory to God.